Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
It is the season.
Whatever do you mean by that?
Well, we're gearing up for the next holiday, which is a great chance to drink wine.
Yeah, it's
not that you need a holiday to drink wine.
It's sort of the best day to drink wine.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean,
family, friends,
football.
Yeah. Three Fs, family, friends, yeah. Football, and wine.
Lots of time. You know.
And food.
Lots of time to gear up, and then you got to have stuff for the table, and then you need stuff after. You got a lot of strategizing to do on the wine side.
And depending on like the dynamics of your family and friend groups, people may drink more or less wine.
And want very different things. Which is different than, I'd say, like a summer party or lots of other occasions where you might have a lot of wine on hand.
Do you have any favorite wines you like to drink for Thanksgiving?
I mean, I think a magnum of whatever you know, whatever is a good idea. Preferably rosé or white.
Is it just you and your husband and son, or are we inviting anyone else over? What's going on?
No, other people will be there.
Okay,
typically, yes, lots of other people. Some of whom really don't care at all about. I mean, they're happy to have wine in their glass, but they're not going to say, "I want the specific wine."
Yeah.
So that's where you put the stuff that you know. We separate the.
Yeah.
Here's for people who don't really care, and here's for us.
I like that.
So there are two different stashes.
Early on, when I first started coming out here and was just starting to get into the wine business, there was a winemaker's home we'd go to, and he literally would stash, they would stash the really good wine in like in their bedroom. And like you kind of had to know.
Yeah.
And so you'd be like, what's hanging out in the decanter in the bedroom? Because like that's where, but everyone else, if you didn't know, you were just drinking also. He always poured good wine, so there was never a bad wine. But, you know, like the super special wine was hidden off.
Totally.
I kind of thought that was funny.
I think
so that's kind of what
to.
You're doing. That's kind of what you're doing is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we're a little less secretive about it.
Yeah. So I'm always hoping that, like, I'll pour something that I think is great and maybe they wouldn't necessarily appreciate it. And then someone has, like, an aha moment and they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love Chardonnay so much. I didn't know. And I'm like, well, you hadn't had one you liked.
I think ideally you just have a lot of different options
and
a giant bucket where people can, if they don't like something.
Yeah, they can move on and try
different things.
But yeah, but typically, right, like rosés are really easy for pairings. Pinot is a natural. Zinfandel.
Definitely.
And then, you know, I drink a lot of bubbles.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a nice excuse, sort of like
to kind of try
Christmas,
different
pairings. New Year's too, where you maybe also just break out some older wines that you've been waiting on.
Why wait? Drink the good stuff.
Drink the good stuff.
Well, that sounds like a good idea.
Oh, we should name a show after that.
Yeah. Well, how about that?
We should do a show based
on
that theme.
We totally should do.
Oh, we do already.
Our producer's like, okay, enough.
I know, but he's had a lot of nerds.
He's had a lot of nerds, as in the gummy, tangy nerds today.
I know. We're stretching our Halloween theme all the way through Thanksgiving, which is how it should be. All right. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to introduce our guests today on The Good Stuff. Thank you so much for joining us on today's Good Stuff. We have two guests in studio, Riggs Laca. Am I saying that right? Laca.
Yes. You are.
Okay, you are the vineyard manager at Emeritus Vineyards, and Emily, you are ag teacher at Annalee High School.
That's correct.
Power couple.
I was going to say, all things ag.
I know, yeah. we've got a power couple. So, welcome, and I mean, where to even start? You both, I think one of you grew up in Sonoma County, and one of you grew up in Oregon. Should we guess? No.
I'll take that one.
I know, so I can't guess.
Okay.
So I'm going to take myself out of this one.
Okay. Well, we want to know a little bit about, like, you know, growing up in ag. You both grew up in ag, different places. So, Riggs, maybe start with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, thank you guys very much for having us. I grew up here in Sonoma County. born in 89. My dad liked to tell me that I came into the world and ruined that harvest. Was born and raised here in Sonoma County.
That does sound like your dad, I'll be honest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He liked to blame 2021 on me, too.
There you go.
But that was the best harvest he'd seen in 45 years of doing it. So luckily enough, I was a part of 4-H and FFA once I got into high school. I actually was a skater kid and didn't really get to participate a whole lot in agriculture until I was a freshman in high school. And Sarah Lee McClellan Cundy was the person kind of reached out to my dad. They were neighbors in terms of work life, and said, you need to come and get this kid into doing this. And so my brother and I participated in 4-H and FFA. Then I grew a liking to it and became an ag teacher. So after graduating from Fresno State, I was an ag teacher throughout California, and then came back in 2020 because I'm not a computer person, so a lot like my dad, and had the opportunity to take over as vineyard manager or assistant vineyard manager until just this last year.
So, okay, so back up a little bit and tell us a little bit about your dad.
Absolutely. So my dad, bless his soul, great guy. Was a huge instrumental piece to the wine industry here in the Russian River Valley in Sonoma County. Came in and took on a job in 1981 with Bryce Jones at Sonoma Cutrer. Helped initially start the Russian River Valley Wine Growers. Was a big person running vineyards for Sonoma Cutrer, and then in 2004 came over to Emeritus. Was a partner from the beginning in 1999, and then just a huge influence, not only for viticulture, but you could always see him at the fairs supporting the kids, and always bought an animal at least in one of the three different auctions that we have there.
Mm-hmm. Did your dad grow up in agriculture as well then, or was that something
not
new?
Necessarily. Okay. You know, my dad got a liking for becoming a person in agriculture because of his grandfather, who I'm luckily named after. And so he got that from the idea of going and sitting on a tractor when he was 8 years old. And then his parents were actually, his dad was an assistant superintendent in Sonoma Valley, but they moved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so skipped a generation. But my dad wanted to be a vineyard manager or a person that dealt with grapevines, just because he graduated from Sonoma High School in 77 and had the opportunity to kind of push forward with this was what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, then how did your parents meet?
Oh, good old Fresno State.
Okay.
Go
there
Dogs.
You go. I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
So did your mom grow up in agriculture then? Yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
I knew that's what I thought.
Yeah. My mom actually was the one that had the wine grape industry.
Yeah.
She was born and raised in Fresno. They met at Fresno State, but she lived on a working ranch, so had the opportunity to raise some cattle and some hogs. And then in addition, she was in charge of table grapes and raising grapes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the vineyard industry kind of hooked on mom. And so luckily she was able to work in the wine industry. She actually helped plant all the vines at Emeritus.
Wow.
So she was
I knew that. That's great.
Yeah. It's a pretty fun one to say out loud. So child labor was not a problem in the early 2000s.
Well, and Riggs, I think one of the first times I met you was when your dad was receiving the Spirit of Sonoma Award and you came to cheer him on and you were teaching. And I think I was like, are you ever going to get into the farming side? And I think your dad probably told me to bug you about it.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot.
You and everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you and everyone that would be around. And I think at the time you were like, I don't know, I really like the teaching. Not opposed, but I really like the teaching. And so I think it was pretty exciting. And clearly, I know for your parents to have you come back and be a part of this was an exciting time for the family.
Absolutely. You know, we're a huge supportive family in terms of when anybody gets an award, because we don't ever want to be recognized, but we like to be recognized. but it's the you know, at that point in time, I was still coming home during the summer. I was working during the summer, even being an agriculture teacher. Bouncing two different jobs was kind of fun in the summer for me, but was lucky enough that I got to come back and take over for my dad when he finally said, you know, I want to retire. It's your opportunity if you want it. And so I interviewed for the position, got the position, and so the story goes.
What was the hardest question you had to answer?
Oh.
Can you work with your dad?
Yeah, that was a pretty close one.
Yeah, probably.
That was a pretty close one. I think the hardest question was, you know, where do you see the industry in 10 years?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know, if it's anything like agriculture, it's ever changing. It's never going to be the same.
And here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
And here we
exactly.
are. Exactly. Well, Emily, tell us a little bit about, I mean, you grew up in agriculture, and so tell us a little bit about what that was like.
I did. As we were talking, or Riggs was talking, it kind of reminded me, we have similar backgrounds as his parents did, where I grew up in agriculture from day one. I'm from Southern Oregon, from Eagle Point. It's a little cattle town right outside of Medford. It's a lot bigger now than it was when I lived there, but I grew up on a sheep farm. My grandparents had a sheep farm, and we had some grass hay. And so I grew up every day. My grandpa and I would go out and irrigate the pastures in the morning and fed sheep morning and night. I was very competitive through 4-H and FFA. Growing up, I showed livestock, sheep, goats, hogs, and cattle.
Well, that's a foreshadowing to your current role.
A little bit.
Competitive. Yes. Okay. I'm seeing where all that connects.
Yeah, very competitive. But multi-generation family up there, you know, big ag family where I'm from. And so that kind of journey brought me to college. I got full ride livestock judging scholarships to Lynn Bitten Community College up by Oregon State, and then was recruited to Chico State, and that brought me to California. So I studied just general agricultural sciences. I wanted to expand my knowledge in the ag industry coming from that big livestock background. So I did that. And then out of college, I was hired on at a vegetable company in the Central Valley.
Yeah,
and so I actually worked in grower relations with a bunch of farmers from all around the state. Did a lot of traveling anywhere from Dixon, Davis area all the way to Southern California. And of course, ton in the Central Valley. So I did that for a few years before Riggs and I moved here to Sonoma County. I think I kind of upset his dad at one point. He had asked Riggs to come take over, and I was at a point in my career where we weren't ready to do that yet. And I think Riggs, too, wanting to finish out his graduating seniors. And so we actually waited a year to move here. And then when the pandemic hit, it just kind of all fell into place. And I was asked to be the teacher at El Molino High School. So I taught there for a couple of years before our schools merged with Annalee. Yeah. And I've been at Annalee ever since. So absolutely love it. I love working with kids. I love that I get to share the story of agriculture and make that influence on all of our future voters. And it's a unique place in Sebastopol. I get a lot of students from Santa Rosa and everywhere that don't come from ag families. And so to introduce them to the industry is just super fun. And it's been really good.
So how do some of those students end up in your classes? I mean, is ag a required class?
It should be.
I know, right?
I agree with you.
That
I totally
financial
agree with you,
literacy and,
yeah,
you know,
there's a lot of ag,
frankly. Like, there's a, we talk about life skills all the time that you should just know.
Absolutely, but
we have, oh my gosh, such a variety of students. Some that are, they grew up through ag, super big farming families. And of course that we naturally draw those families. Some of our students, it's chance. They randomly get put into a class. But the biggest thing is a lot of our classes overlap with some graduation requirements. And so we teach a lot of science. So students can get their science credit for graduation by taking our classes. The students always say, oh, your class is easier. And I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think that they're just able to relate more because we're physically looking and talking about animals and plants and the environment, and they can see it. They can touch it. And so I think that they learn a lot more from that. But we've expanded our program the last few years. We teach ag mechanics. Great skills to know, right?
Important.
Always think about those, hopefully, future homeowners and being able to fix little things around their house. Those are great skills to be able to learn how to do. We have ag business classes now. So we have students, seniors who get their government and economics credit by taking our ag classes. And so some of our classes overlap with some graduation requirements. And then we do a lot of outreach and recruitment. We're always in the community. Of course, you see us at the fair and those big county events, but then we're reaching out to middle schools and trying to engage those families at a younger age to try to draw them in our direction.
Yeah, it's so great.
Okay, so they haven't shared how they met. I like the origin story. We should put canceling noise so you can't hear each other's answers.
We're
behind the booth.
We're lucky enough that we get to tell this story a lot, so it's a lot of fun. I guess I can put it my way, and then she can give the actual story. But I met her in a parking garage in Reno. So
at a casino.
Oh, at a casino.
Wow.
Is the way that I like to put it. Yep. And then the story comes in. It's a whole lot more in depth than that. So yeah. Your turn.
So we both have a background in the sheep industry, mm-hmm. and specifically show sheep. And so there's a national sheep show at the Nugget Casino in Reno every single year.
That's almost like a little tongue twister.
I love it. Yeah. And so we just met through friends of kind of friends of friends of each of our own and naturally kind of connected. And
yeah, that first night that we met, there's never any alcohol.
You were smitten.
I was.
I saw the look.
I was taken away. The opportunity for us to just meet, kind of, you know, you have to imagine a parking garage filled with about 300 sheep inside of it.
You left out that part.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. I like to just give the overview, and everybody goes, "Why did you meet in a parking lot?"
Yeah. Okay, so there's a bunch of sheep there.
There is, and so I'd shown sheep the entire day, and I was a little upset with how the show had gone for the sheep that I had taken up there. And we just ended up, there was alcohol involved mm-hmm. afterwards. You know, after that, when you get people from all over the nation, everybody just wants to celebrate the opportunity to be together. Yeah. So everybody kind of hangs out afterwards and drinks a little bit of beer, Bloody Marys, you name it. Everybody makes it in there. But it's an opportunity.
Garage.
There is a little bit of wine. It just depends on who you're dealing with. So Jim Newmiller normally brings up a case.
Oh, yeah,
and
good.
So okay. I was showing sheep
he
for
represents.
Him. So for him and for past Deputy Ag Commissioner Pete Albers. So I was showing sheep for both of them and came up and she had asked if I wanted a beer.
Actually made the first move.
Whoa.
I guess.
She did.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Well, I'd met Rick.
I mean, he'd been following her around through the parking lot all day, and she finally turned around and was like, "Okay, what? Do you want a beer? Like what's this going to take?"
Yeah.
I love that.
So did Emily have better sheep?
I didn't actually have sheep there that year.
Oh.
No. Kind of moral support came for the show. We usually buy some sheep too.
Yeah, and we had some mutual friends. I didn't spend, you know, when I was in college and those types of things and I became an ag teacher, I wasn't spending a lot of time trying to meet new people from different colleges. And so I graduated from Fresno, whereas Emily graduated from Chico State.
Mm-hmm.
But when we met that night, we talked for probably 2.5 hours just about the most random things in the world. Livestock judging to sheep to goats to, you know, her background, my background. And that was just kind of the beginning of the budding relationship that we ended up figuring out.
Mm-hmm. This is like farm recording, though. I'm not sure everyone, when they meet, talks about sheep and goats.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What do they talk about them?
I lived on the East Coast for a while, and that did not come up very often.
Sure.
But clearly it's bonding, right? You know? Yeah.
No, talk about, what a great thing to have in common. That appreciation.
Yes. It's kind of a fun tradition for us now because we met there and then we go back every single year.
I like that.
We get to go and sometimes we bring our own sheep and sometimes we go just to experience it and see our friends. But it's always a kind of a vacation for us. Our vacations are livestock shows and business trips. But I'm sure you all relate too to that.
Yep, typically pouring wine on a vacation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Haven't been roped into that one yet, but I'm sure that if I bring it up, it's going to happen.
Yeah, you're young still.
Yes, yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's the post-sheep life.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to uncover, but we are coming up against a break in a minute, so I don't want to get too much into, then what, but you were living in Fresno. Were you still in Chico at that time, Emily?
I was moving to Modesto, actually.
Oh, okay.
And Riggs was living in Manteca, which is right north of there. So naturally, we kind of started dating.
So location.
Actually, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah. It did.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back on to get the rest of the story from Riggs and Emily. Thank you. Stuff with our guests Riggs and Emily Laca, and talking about how you met and then what, and you're in Modesto and you're in Manteca. And so Emily had mentioned earlier that it took until really, you know, career-wise and kind of where you were in life to, it took until about the pandemic for you to really decide to make Sonoma County your home again for you, Riggs. But so tell us a little bit about what that process was. I mean, how did you decide to just
I guess come all in? Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as Emily mentioned in the previous segment, the idea was that we had discussed it with my dad. You know, my dad reached out to me 2018 and said, you know, I'd like to retire. Isn't that what you want to do? Like, don't you want to take over for your dad? And we were sitting at home. I think it was Christmas time, and it was the opportunity for us to kind of talk about it, make mm-hmm. those decisions. And
I remember we actually went down to the tasting room at Emeritus, and we had a family tasting, which is something we don't do very often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sat around the table and had a good family discussion, and a little terrifying. A lot of you met Kirk, and he's a little intimidating. And so, as the girlfriend,
he sounds gruff, even when he's saying very nice things.
Absolutely,
like, it doesn't really like it. All comes out gruff.
Yes. Absolutely,
so that's just his.
Well, he did have a business card that said "the adorable curmudgeon."
Yes.
So it was one of those things. But you know, we had that conversation in 2018, going into 2019, and we talked about it, and then Emily explained, you know, did better than I did, you know, like being the son trying to talk to my dad about whether I want to come
business.
Home or not, you know, it's not always the funnest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I really appreciated Emily saying, this is what, you know, we're doing right now. And if it works for us, then we'll be home next year.
Good for you.
And it did kind of work out. You know, I was an ag teacher. I really wanted to graduate my seniors. And so I'd been at that school in Stockton. I was teaching at Western Ranch High School. I was teaching ag mechanics, and which is why I had to interview for my position to be a vineyard manager.
Yeah.
But the opportunity was that, you know, I was going to come home following that summer. I had already made the decision. We had talked about it. And then we got a phone call magically that Emily can tell you about that got her in the direction up here.
So Emelina High School needed a teacher mid-year, so I was actually hired in February and started in March, and so we didn't have a place to live here or anything, so I actually moved in with his parents, with Kirk and Debbie.
Oh my
they
God.
Took me in, and it was actually amazing.
So you were still teaching in Stockton.
I was.
So you moved here early.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes,
okay.
And so I got to move here.
You are brave.
Don't worry. The house was big enough that it was a little separated, but...
We drank a lot of good wine.
But you guys weren't married.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
That's true.
Yeah,
no.
So you weren't married yet.
Not yet.
You'd just been dating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
I mean, the future in-laws.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. It actually was really phenomenal to get to know them even more, and they got to know me even more and learn about my passions. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
As an individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really
cool. No, it was really great. And then once his school year was over, we got a house here on the vineyard. And moved in, and I don't know, I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Been here ever since.
Yeah. Well, talk about the vineyard. I mean, talk about sort of, you know, what you are farming at Emeritus, because it's very much an estate-based program. Like, tell us a little bit about that place.
Yeah, absolutely. So Emeritus Vineyards is 140 acres of just Pinot Noir. We have 110 acres at our home ranch we call Hallberg, and then we have another 30-acre ranch on the south end of town of Sebastopol that we call Pinot Hill. And so with that, there's so many different options that you can do with Pinot Noir and what we try to accomplish, but I've got guys that have worked for the company for over 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, we're a very family-oriented, being second generation with myself and with Mari, our president, and then even our winemaker, Keith. He actually showed up when I was a senior in high school.
Oh, wow.
And he came in on an internship, and so it's that second realm of, you know, second generation. The idea that Keith's worked with every single winemaker that we had at Emeritus, but my crew is awesome. I love my crew to death, and they're the ones that kind of turn that Green Valley Appalachian vineyard into something super special. But it's a great opportunity to be right there on 116 and Occidental, right behind the 76 station.
So were there any surprises moving into more of the vineyard management side versus sort of the teaching and ag mechanics, like things you learned you loved or things you were like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into?
You know, it's kind of funny. There's some people that ask that question, and I kind of look at it as, was there any huge jumps in being different? Well, being a teacher, I was in charge of 30 kids at a time. And I'd have them for an hour and a half, and then they'd move on. But coming home, I wasn't in that teacher role anymore. I had to become a student again. Mm-hmm. And so learning from my dad what were the steps that he wanted to do to go forward, that was huge. Mm-hmm. But then when he said about 3 months in, so this is March to June, and 3 months in, he goes, well, you're the boss. So it was kind of a jump, but he was always there, kind of, he was the principal. You know, he'd kind of sit over the top of me and kind of watch. But what I learned was high school kids and Vineyard employees are not much different.
Oh boy.
And so they're great guys. They're absolutely fantastic. All of these employees that we've had over the years are fantastic people, but each one of them is like a little kid. You got to give them a little bit of attention to kind of push forward, but
some
they're
guidance.
Absolutely fantastic people. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's a huge difference.
Yeah. And he still gets to, thankfully for my job, kind of experience a lot of working directly with students.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
And I think a lot of the parts that you enjoyed teaching were coaching kids and really connecting with students. And I when I started teaching, I got advice from quite a few ag teachers that are very seasoned, and they said, because it's a hard job, we work a lot of hours, a ton of weekends, late nights, early mornings, and they said, if you want to see your family, invite them to your events. And so I've consistently done that since I started teaching, and all my students know Riggs, and they love him, and he knows them, and so he's still pretty involved with the ag teaching part.
I think I've seen him grilling a lot at events that support your students. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yes.
So I think he's
feeding them is a good way to earn their,
he's
earn their love.
Feeding their families.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He's very good at that.
Yeah. I did win the apron that said barbecue person.
So nice.
I did win that. But
I like that. I mean, I was going to say, I'm curious, Emily, like starting kind of the actual FFA program and like bringing that and building that to so much success. I mean, you guys have done such a great job, right? Winning state, if I got that correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So talk about, like, how did you do that and what's kind of the inspiration and how do you guys work together on that?
Oh, goodness. It's a lot. I try to never forget about the classroom, right? The classroom is where I get to see every single one of my students, no matter their involvement in FFA outside of school. And so really trying to just start their day one, establishing a really positive community in each of my classes that I teach, I think is really important.
I'll interrupt you. Actually explain what FFA is to that might not know tuning in.
Of course, So FFA is our student leadership organization. It's actually the largest student-led leadership organization in the world. There's over 1 million members. California has over 100,000. And so students get to learn how to do soft skills, public speaking, time management, or those really hard hands-on skills like our vine pruning team as well. So lots of different opportunities for the kids.
Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Future Farmers of America, right?
Yes.
Still. Okay.
Yeah.
I know.
And you won it all. I mean, a state championship in grapevine pruning is a big deal. And I think I spoke to you about that last year. And just getting those students trained and ready and feeling calm. And
it takes
a lot
many
of travel.
Years. It really does. Kind of starting them young. Even I think myself, and I've invited Riggs to help coach the teams too. Like, we've learned a lot as coaches throughout the year. And how to set them up. Our wine industry here is a lot different from the Central Valley where the majority of our contests are. So teaching them about our relevant industry here, but then also preparing them to be competitive at a state level. But it's fun. It's super fun.
Yeah, I hadn't considered that most of it's down in the Central Valley. That's very different farming.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It really is.
Big vines.
And, big vines and different methodologies for sure.
For sure. I think we have to take a quick break.
We have to take a quick break. We will be right back on the good stuff. things up on the good stuff with our guests, Riggs Locca from Emeritus Vineyards, Vineyard Manager at Emeritus Vineyards, and Emily Locca, Agriculture Teacher at Annalee High School. So maybe we should talk a little bit about the wines that are coming off of those gorgeous vineyards that you farm. Tell us a little bit about kind of what people can experience. Can they come visit?
Absolutely. So Emeritus Vineyards is open 7 days a week. Come by the tasting room. It's right there on 116. Got a big sign out front that says Emeritus Vineyards. Open from
that's handy.
10:30 to about
as
4.
As advertised.
Yeah, exactly. We do have a pretty awesome looking vineyard most of the time. Right now we've got a lot of leaves falling on the ground, but kind of fun to come by. Come by and do a tasting. Walk-ins are more than welcome to come in, but if you can't make it in those hours, go ahead and stop by Region. We're in Region now with one of my favorite, in the Barlow in Sebastopol. They're open a lot later, so you can go and taste multiple different wines from multiple different vintners and wineries there. But the wine I brought in today was the Hallberg Blanc, which is just a white Pinot Noir.
So there's so awesome.
So it's no skin contact. Nobody likes it, but the vineyard guy in me likes to call it the vineyard juice that gets turned into wine because it comes right off. Yeah. You know, we pick the fruit, bring it right in, goes through the sorting table, and just dumps right into a brand new tank every single year. And so it's an awesome opportunity to get a taste for the wines. Hallberg Ranch is pretty well known through the wine industry, through a lot of Pinot Noir grower or wineries. We've 13 different vineyard designates just on that 110 acres, so pretty awesome.
That's great. And so what else are you going to be up to in December as we
what are we going to be doing?
Head into that month. I know. It's like we're getting through the holidays and then the Thanksgiving holiday and then December. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Absolutely.
We do. We love to be involved in our community, of course. So Riggs's parents have a really impressive antique tractor collection. Mm-hmm. So last year we started, we went to the Great In Tractor Parade, which is now going to be one of our family traditions. So we've got, how many tractors do we even have?
We bring 5.
So, okay. So you guys brought a lot.
That was a lot. I remember. Just from your family.
Wow. We bring 5, and they're anything from a 1935 Massey Ferguson to a 1952 Super 55 Oliver. That was my dad's last tractor purchase that he got, and that was his unicorn that he called. So,
I love that.
Wow. Oh, yes.
Yeah, but so that's in the town of Grayton.
In Grayton, So we're right up next to Grayton. We actually didn't even have to trailer the tractors. Then we drove them right through the vineyard.
I love it.
Down the street, and there we were. So this year's on December 6th.
Yeah, that's must check out. I was there last year. Super fun.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of fun. You know, you get everybody from the surrounding community, but we want to make it as big, if not bigger, than maybe the Calistoga Tractor Parade or the guys Tractor Parade. When we finally got it, you know, told to us, it was, oh, I guess we got to go and buy Christmas lights at Sebastopol Hardware and bring all this stuff in. And then it's got to be battery powered because you can't bring a generator.
Nope.
Well, no, we brought the entire harvest lights and put them on the back of the tractors. We made it a whole lot of fun.
And I think we need more lights, though.
No, don't worry. Don't worry.
Here you go. You got a couple weeks. So, Emily, figure that out.
Can you put some of your students to work on this, this great
that's
event?
A great idea.
They should decorate a whole float or something.
I think we're going to put a harvest trailer on the back this year so we can have them kind of follow along.
Yeah. Like super fun. Great ideas.
Well, I'm excited for that. I've got my calendar marked. And there's another event coming up, right? A tasting event?
Yeah, what's absolutely. That? So if you're not busy on the 13th of December, this is the Taste West County Passports. You have an opportunity to go around to all of the members of Taste West County. So anybody from Emeritus to DRNK, Joseph Jewell, Martin Ray, all of those different wineries. And you can just take this little passport around. And it's kind of like the beer passport that they normally do in February.
Yeah.
But it's a new opportunity to come around and kind of check out West County, get an idea of what we've got going on out there.
I love that. And we'd be remiss if we didn't, before we take our last break, say congratulations. You both have won pretty big awards. So Emily, this summer, you won the Outstanding Leader in Agriculture. That was from the Sonoma County Harvest Fair. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And Riggs, recently you were named one of Wine Business Monthly. They do an annual sort of roundup of leaders in the industry, and you received one of their honors. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fantastic.
So we're here with an award-winning couple.
I know.
I just want to say for the record.
Inspiring the next generation, too, which is so important in agriculture. We have these conversations all the time. So
with that, I do have my last question for them. What's your best advice you give these kids? Like, what's your piece of...
Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind, and this is how I coach all my students, whether it's just their grades at school in class or getting ready for a contest, anything, is just to live life with a growth mindset. And the idea that life's a journey, I think it's super important to set big goals for yourself, and that you can accomplish anything no matter who you are, where you're from. But to think of it as a journey, you're not going to get to your end point in one day. Just to keep trying to get better and stay positive and never tell yourself you can't do anything. I think that's super important.
That's a good life lesson right there. Yeah. You don't have to be young to hear that little tidbit.
I feel so inspired.
I know.
Yeah. Wow.
How about you, Riggs? Anything?
I think that one of the things that, you know, when I'm lucky enough to go and participate with the high school kids, the biggest thing is don't take anything too hard.
Yeah.
Remember, tomorrow's a new day, and one of my biggest words of advice that I ever gave to a student when I was a student teacher was, always go to sleep and wake up the next morning and remember the one good thing that happened. It didn't matter whether it was a bad day or a great day. You just have to have one thing that makes it better.
I like that.
Wow. Okay. Well, with that, we want to thank you both so much for joining us today on very, very good stuff.
Yeah, that was a great stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
Well, that was a good conversation on today's good stuff with inspiring people. Jeff thinks it was not great, but
not true.
We just threw him under the bus.
Probably because of our part. But Kirk and Emily were quite inspired. Not Kirk.
His dad, Riggs.
Riggs' dad, Kirk, who I met many years ago.
Yeah, no, yeah. Legend. Kirk was definitely a legend in our Sonoma County wine community.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what a lovely, I mean, it's so fun. Riggs does a lot with the Sonoma County wine growers, obviously, and it's really fun to see this young couple really connected in different ways to Sonoma County agriculture, and really inspiring working a lot with sort of that next generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Need more of that.
I know. It makes me happy.
More tractor prints.
I feel like we could get a lot of advice from them. Yes, Jeff.
Shout out to Emily for shooting her shot, too. I think a lot of women can take note from that.
Oh, I like that. I know. Jeff was very impressed that Emily...
I like that story. That was a good story.
Buy a guy a beer.
Buy a guy a beer.
I mean,
that's all. Yeah. Yep, that's all Jeff wants.
See, you just...
If you see Jeff hanging out at Osceola's, he would just like you to approach him and offer to buy him a beer.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even probably have to pay for it. Just go and get it for him.
Anything.
Bring it to him and start a conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else we could tag Jeff's dating life in our...
buy a guy a beer.
Buy a guy a beer. That's going to be the whole theme. I mean, but I would say buy a gal a glass of wine, buy the guy the beer. Okay. I don't know how that's all working out.
Or maybe you just need to go to more sheep shows. I don't know.
Yeah. You're Reno bound for the sheep show.
All right. Well, people really should go visit Emeritus Vineyards.
Absolutely. In Sebastopol,
2500 Gravenstein Highway. EmeritusVineyards.com is how you can find out more.
Oh, and I like this. If you have general questions, you can email hello@EmeritusVineyards.com.
So nice.
That's like a very pleasant.
It really is.
Hello. It makes you feel like very welcome.
Yeah.
So there you go. So, all right. Good stuff wine.
Please come visit. Good stuff wine. Well, I mean, clearly.
You're not going to be obvious, are you? Oh, wait.
Of course I am. Of course I am. Why wouldn't I be obvious? 2024 Hallberg Blanc. I actually had chosen the 2024 Emeritus Hallberg Blanc before the show.
Yeah, and then they brought us
each
a bottle.
And then that's what they brought. So, but I love, I mean, it's all Pinot Noir, so what are you going to do? If you want a white, you got to make a Pinot Noir Blanc.
I'm actually very excited to try it. I haven't tried it yet, so that's going to be super fun. And, you know, Riggs mentioned that they actually sell the Hallberg Pinot Noir to have 13 different vineyard designates, and I know one of my favorites is the Gary Farrell Hallberg Ranch, and I believe I have a 2019 sitting in the cellar, so I'm going to pull that out. Gary Farrell, 2019, Hallberg Ranch, Pinot Noir.
And you're saying that's less obvious? I guess it is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of a surprise. And she also, we mentioned Riggs won the Wine Business Monthly. Stephanie Wyckoff, who's their general manager for Gary Farrell, also won one of the Wine Business Monthly Leader Awards for 2025. So there's all my connections. See,
See what I did there.
So many connections.
Okay. Well, we will enjoy both those wines.
Yes.
And we could probably find some other Hallberg Ranch wines.
Absolutely.
If we really try.
We'll be on the hunt.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today on The Good Stuff from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.